This is Maria with The Why, from Success to Startup Show, bringing you the whys of entrepreneurship on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com. Hello, welcome to Startup to Success with Maria. My guest today is Adam David Jones, who's a serial entrepreneur, violence survivor, and a former professional actor. 6 years ago, he was violently attacked and almost killed. A year later, the man covered in his blood was acquitted by a jury. He started a crusade to stop this from happening to other people and founded Zeer. Adam, welcome.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
I'm excellent. I am so excited to not only hear about Zeer, but God, you know, to hear about your entrepreneurial journey. And then obviously dabble into your experience and everything else. But before we begin with everything, and I have so many questions for you, I have to start off with the inspiration behind Zeer. What inspired you to start Zeer?
Well, you covered it briefly in your introduction. So thank you for that. Thank you for the nice introduction. And thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate that. It's 6 years ago, I organized a voter registration event in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and I was leaving to go home. It'd been a long day. I got hundreds of people registered to vote. There was bands, like, you know, I gave out free drink tickets. It was just a very long day, successful, long, like, okay. My friend said, "Do you want to go with me to this party this guy invited me to?" I'm like, I'll go with you to make sure it's safe. You know, yeah, I'll go. But, and then I was just going to leave. And then when that man that invited her found me alone, she was around the corner. He struck the back of my skull with a cinder block. And then he went back around the corner and told her that she was going to have sex with him or pay her money or I was going to die.
Oh my goodness.
I don't remember any of this. This was all told to me after the fact. Three weeks later, I wake up in a world class, thank gosh, a hospital in Hershey, Pennsylvania. I had half of my skull removed. I had a feeding tube in my stomach. I could not and still can't hear out of my left ear. And then I was like, well, what happened? Why am I here? And then I was told I was attacked. And I thought, well, you know, attacked by some man. I said, well, I was thinking to myself, it's probably a 20-year-old kid.
Yeah.
He was scared. He was hungry. He overreacted. I mean, you know, if you knew me, I would just give you my money. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had to learn how to eat well again first so I could get that feeding tube out of my stomach. Talk in coherent sentences, which wasn't too hard. And then walk and do things like that because my muscles had atrophied.
Wow.
But I did, and I was an actor, professional actor before that. So I had a very interesting life experience. You know, one time I'm an illegal immigrant that just snuck in from Ireland or India. And then the next time I am speaking Arabic for a different play, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. But, okay, so I recovered, thankfully, because I had high brain plasticity, because people pray for me and care about me, and I think the love came through the ether and I could feel it.
Yeah.
I got better very quickly, much, much faster than they expected.
Amazing.
And a year after I woke out of the coma, they brought the man to trial, who was caught in under an hour by the police, covered in my blood, had my $60 in his pocket. My friend testified to what happened. And the day of the trial, I hear he's going to represent himself. Wow. I'm like, oh, okay. I said, well, what do you want me to do about it? Nothing. They said, I want you to tell the truth. I'm like, good. That's what I was going to do.
Right.
And we get to the trial, and he walks in, and he's 50 year old. He's a 50 year old man, almost 240 pounds. He could have said, give me your money. And I would have said, take it, have a good night. But, and I still don't quite understand why, he almost killed me.
Wow.
And
that's such a, I'm sorry that you had to go through that. That's awful. That's awful.
And then he, you know, he testified and said, I didn't really do this. He made up some of some story. It was the fourth story he told. And my friend got on the stand. She testified, said everything that happened. I got on the stand and he said, so, Adam, you don't remember anything from that night. I was like, no. And he said, well, so you don't really know that I did this. I said, no, but the evidence looks like you did it.
Oh, my God.
And then I apparently had a panic attack and blacked out. Brain is weird. It doesn't remember things consciously, but unconsciously it right. holds on to things.
Wow.
So, and then the next day, the jury deliberated and he was acquitted.
No.
Yeah.
But wasn't your friend as a, her testimony was not good enough? I mean,
apparently not. How many times is it he said, she said?
Oh my
right? God. Wow. She didn't actually see the physical attack itself. He came back around the corner, threatened what I just told you. He said, you're going to F me or you're going to give me money. Your friend's going to die.
Wow.
That and the fact that he'd already been acquitted for another aggravated assault and a rape
over
the past 3 or 4 years.
That's ridiculous.
Yes. Yes, this guy knows how to play the system. He beat the system again.
Mm-hmm.
What does it take? How much evidence do you need so a sexual assault survivor or an aggravated assault survivor like me, what does it take to put someone in jail so that they won't do this to somebody else?
Exactly. Wow.
Yeah.
So this obviously changed your life drastically and you started the crusade. And then tell me what the next steps were like.
It is a crusade, I think. It's a good way to describe it. Because it doesn't matter what happens to me, hell or high water, I'm still going to do this. I don't need money. Good. I don't need anything.
Good.
I will live out of a box, I will go to the library, and I will build the technology so that way we won't have to go through this again, you or I or anybody in the world.
Wow.
excuse me. Sometimes I get excited and I lost my voice. So that's what happened. And my life changed from kissing girls and playing with swords as an actor to just trying to solve this problem, but at scale. You know, I could do a lot of good in my community by helping people, helping survivors find justice and heal. But I wanted to do something that will affect not just my community, but your community.
Yeah.
The community in India, where my co-founder is from, or where my COO is from in Serbia, or in Seattle, where some of my friends are from, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What can scale not to a few dozen people, which is still God's work, if you will.
Yeah.
What's going to scale to 100 million?
Right.
A billion.
Right.
5 billion people. And this is what I started. That's the mission. The mission is not zero. The mission is solve the problem at scale.
Yeah. Genius, genius. I mean, I'm looking at your website right now, and at scale is the key, because the sad part is that it's not being, problems aren't being resolved. And you said it earlier in your interview, you said, what would it take for them to find, right, you know, to put the guy away? How much more evidence did they need? And so yes, not fast enough. The way our system is, sadly, it's just they're not fast enough. And somehow I'm shocked that they don't have the most advanced technology. But, right, you know, and so, and it can never be done at scale when they're so slow. And so I can't wait to understand what Xir does. I mean, obviously, right, you know, you're clear on what the mission is, but I'm curious to know. Yes. Walk us a little bit through, you know, how it works, you know, what can, okay, we expect, and then I would love to dive in into the creation of it. Like, what did, okay, it take? What type of experts did you have to bring into the picture to
a lot
this, to turn a lot this idea?
I'm just a lowly little actor. I had to bring in a lot of experts, which is, thank goodness, one of the things I'm good at.
And it's people like you that inspire others to create the things that they have ideas for. And a lot of people have amazing ideas, but then they start, they don't take a chance on it because they don't, yeah, have technology expertise, or they're not marketers, right, or that. And one thing, you know, I love that you're on the show. I would love for people to get inspired and understand that, listen, he's, you know, Adam is an actor and he did it. And if he did it, you can do it too. So thank, yes, you for being such an inspiration.
Yeah, but I do want to push back a little bit and say, I was a 36-year-old white male in America who made enough money in California, yeah, to survive, and has a strong support network of family and friends, yeah, to help me get by. Not everybody has that.
True.
Ideas are relatively cheap. Execution is hard. There are tools out there, but it doesn't mean I'm privileged.
Yeah.
And that privilege allowed me to leverage that privilege to make this possible.
I love that you took advantage of that. Most people, when they're privileged, are just like, you know, they take it for granted. And you clearly didn't. You used it to your benefit. Awesome. So tell us a little bit about what Xir does. What can people expect when they go on this app?
Okay. So Xir is, in a nutshell, it solves three problems. We want to prosecute criminals, right? We want to respond more effectively, because right now, if you call 911 in most places in the US, they have no idea where you are.
Right.
They don't know what's happening. If you can't explain it, if you're choking, you're having a heart attack, you're getting stabbed, and you can't talk, you're not going to get any help.
Right.
So prevention, response, prosecution, response, and then prevention. So those are the three pillars that we're trying to solve the problem for. You know, because of my experience, I started with prosecution. That was surprisingly kind of the easiest. We did invent new technology using blockchain. Mm-hmm. We used the Stax ecosystem, the Stax blockchain, to save the data so nobody can manipulate it. Not the president of the United States, not, oh, you're from LA, right?
Yes.
Not Brad Pitt. nobody. That was actually, believe it or not, even though no one's done it before, that was actually one of the easier things to do. And then we want to provide situational data to first responders so they know where you are, what's happening to you. I mean, we can send your medical information, we can send your live heart rate in real time so you can get help more quickly and, you know, it's more effective. But then the hardest part is prevention. And that's what we're working on now, because the truth of the matter is, even though if you haven't gone through what I went through, you don't think to yourself, oh yeah, it'd be great to prosecute that SOB.
Yeah.
And you know, that's good, but you know what people really want? They don't want to be hurt in the first place.
Exactly.
So that's where we've put all of our resources recently. Like, for example, just a quick example, if you're walking down the street in Sao Paulo and you've never been there in that neighborhood, maybe Zier will know that because you allowed it to know, and it'll compare crime data, maybe crime data with time of day, time of year, and say, hey, this is not a safe area. You should be careful.
Yeah.
And maybe steer you away from danger. And that's just one simple thing that we're doing. But so we're focused on prosecution, response, and prevention. So that's our mission, right? That's how we're trying to solve the mission. That's the vision.
Huge task, I have to say it. I mean, that's like, I mean, you're solving three major issues, but prevention is huge. I would love to hear more about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So one of the first things, so right now, the low-hanging fruit for machine learning to respond very quickly to danger is with your secret safe word, voice recognition. You may say, hey, Siri, angry hippos in Alaska.
Oh, it's going to go off now.
And that's your secret safe word or phrase. Zier calls for help. Alert your emergency contacts that you're in danger with your location, a live video, and calls 911. Okay. And when 911 is able to receive the data, we can send all that rich data that we talked about.
Wow.
So that's, we want to create a frictionless response from when you are in danger to when you get help to when prosecution happens. Because if there's any time in your life you want it to be frictionless,
yeah,
it's when your life is on the line. Right. And right now it's not. I mean, I can order a pizza on the Domino's app. They'll come right here for $5. Right. I don't have to say where I am, what's going on, what kind of pizza I want. It's all, but if I'm choking and can't explain where I am, I won't get help.
It's insane. I can't imagine the complication behind not just the methodology of what you've created, but the technology and machine learning. You know, that's a whole, God, it's such a complicated thing. And I love how you've tied it all in together to be able to, my assumption is you're using the machine learning for the prevention part a lot, right?
Yeah, prevention, yes. Oh,
wow, genius.
I get so excited about this. So let's go back to Sao Paulo. You're walking down the street, maybe it's simple machine learning. Oh, it could be a dangerous area, right? You know, we just run the numbers. And you're like, yeah, but I got a meeting. I got to get this, the fastest route. You know, we'll suggest other routes too. But you're like, okay, I'm going to go that way. Well, your phone hears a gunshot.
Wow.
Right? Your phone or your Apple Watch recognize that you hit the ground very quickly, suddenly. Now that's some evidence right there that the machine learning might say, ooh, are you okay? And like have a 10-second countdown. You'll put in your 4-digit PIN, will not call for help. But it's already recording everything to the cloud and to the blockchain stacks. But let's say that your heart rate drops or spikes really dangerously suddenly on read from the Apple Watch or the smartwatch. Now Zier set gives you like 3 seconds. If you do not respond, we're calling for help, live streaming everything to your emergency contacts, saving it to the cloud and the blockchain and getting you help more quickly. So yeah, that's how the machine learning is going to be more responsive to danger. And that's the future of the NG911. Why would it not be? 5G is faster. You know, data is cheaper to process and save. You know, if I'm having a heart attack, I mean, I'm an epileptic now, for example, since I was attacked. And, you know, sometimes pets can tell if you're going to have a seizure.
Right.
Well, I think we can train computers to be able to figure it out.
Right.
And the more data we collect for good, then we'll start to be able to predict when you're about to have a heart attack. Maybe you should, you know, even alert you, be careful, or having a seizure, et cetera. And that's the future. And it's really just around the corner. You know, there's no reason we can't have this right now.
Exactly. Did you ever imagine that you would be in the tech space like this? I mean,
hell no. I am, I'm an ex-ennial at best. When Facebook came out, I was at NYU and I was in the NYU network because it was by schools, and I did not want to give up my MySpace.
Right.
I was still playing around on Hot or Not, if I remember, in college.
I love it. I love it. I bet you have so many haters in the tech industry. You know, they go to study and they're, but I want to talk a little bit about how you put it all together. You know, it's one thing to have the vision. It's one thing to figure out what your pillars are. What problem are you solving? But God, to execute it, to make it a reality, let's dive into that a little bit. That's the hard part. And I understand you've had support, but even with support, it's really challenging, especially if you don't have technology background. So tell me about that.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.